Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Movie Bonfire. This is Zach.
This is Will.
And today we're going to be talking about another Oscar movie in our long, wide-reaching reviews of Oscar movies. Today we're going to be talking about Frost Nixon. This movie is nominated for Best Director, Ron Howard, Best Picture, Best Editing, Best Actor, Frank Langella, for his performance as Richard Nixon, and Best Screenplay by Peter Morgan.
Oh my God, that is a lot.
It is. You may remember Peter Morgan as the writer of Last King of Scotland, and
good movie.
He wrote The Queen, for which he was also nominated for an Oscar, and he wrote The Deal, which is the prequel to The Queen. And both The Queen and The Deal starred Michael Sheen.
Weird.
As Tony Blair, and now he plays David Frost.
He looks like Tony Blair.
He does. So this guy's looking like Tony Blair has now gotten him into two Best Picture nominated movies.
Wow.
In leading roles. Go fucking Michael Sheen. Anyway, so Frost Nixon, if you don't already know, is a pseudo-historical account of the Frost Nixon interview that happened in the 70s. Where
after Watergate, he's basically been defaced and he's resigned from the presidency.
Right, Nixon steps down, and this guy, Frost, is out in Australia as a talk show host, and he sees this and goes, I think a lot of people are going to be interested in seeing what this guy has to say. Nobody can get an interview with him. I'm going to set one up. And he sets up an interview with Nixon, and then
A paid interview.
He pays him $600,000 to set up an interview. Yeah. And then he just goes to work.
Which is kind of like why he can do it, because the regular news people say, we're not going to pay for an interview. So right. ABC, NBC are like, we're not going to touch it.
Either you interview or that's it. We don't pay you to interview.
Yeah.
So he was derided for that, for paying for an interview. And then he puts it all on the line and starts studying. And then he goes face to face with Richard Nixon. And the rest is history, as you know. Although I didn't know that when I watched the movie. So it actually made the movie better, because I didn't know if it was gonna work out.
That's true. I knew that he was gonna nail Nixon at the end of this movie. But
yeah. Apparently, if you know any history, then you would already know that. So it doesn't count as a spoiler.
All right, Zach. Okay. Let me tell you something I like about the movie. And that is the supporting cast. We have Sam Rockwell.
Oh my God! I am so there with you.
Oliver Platt, and who's the girlfriend that he meets on the airplane?
Rebecca Hall from Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh my God. Is that really her?
That's her. She looks like a 15-pound lighter Elizabeth Hurley with more British-looking teeth. And she actually uses her English accent instead of pretending to be American like she does in Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
She's British. I didn't even know. That's why I didn't recognize her.
Because you're like, who's that British lady? Couldn't be the same woman. Yeah, she's great. You've also got Kevin Bacon as Nixon's assistant.
Yeah.
Very intense-looking guy.
He playing against type, you know? He's Mr. Liberal.
I know, but when I was looking at him, I was going, man, you were a conservative, I'd believe it, because you sure look like one in this movie. Yeah. And then you got Toby Jones. Oh my God, he looked like the Monopoly guy with that bald head and those glasses.
I like him too.
He was so good.
He's good. He's a good smart
man. I've liked him for a while now, and he always gets supporting roles because he's just Mr. I think if it wouldn't have been for Philip Seymour Hoffman winning the Oscar for Best Actor for Capote.
Yeah. He would have won the next year.
For, what was that one called?
Truman Capote?
No. What was it? It was called something famous.
I don't know. It was about Truman Capote.
It was about Truman Capote, and it starred Toby Jones, but nobody cared because they had just watched Capote the year before.
What's his name in this movie? Skeeter? Something like that?
Yeah.
Skeeter. This is Skeeter. I forgot that name.
He's Nixon's agent. He's Nixon's press agent. And I think this is my favorite role I've seen him in.
Yeah, he's good.
He's very good in this. Then you've also got...
Good job, casting director. Why aren't you nominated?
Yeah, exactly. Best casting. Obviously, you've got Michael Sheen as Frost and Frank Langella as Nixon, nominated for Best Actor.
I think that Sam Rockwell...
I'm with you on the cast.
Sam Rockwell is the major standout, though, because I think he drives the team, really.
He does, and he's a guy who can carry his own movie. He can carry... It's usually an independent movie. He doesn't make big movies, but... He can carry his own movie, and he's in a pretty small role.
He's gonna, you know what's going to happen to him? He's going to be like in some superhero movie and become like a gigantic star.
No, he's not.
Give him like five more
years. Well,
how old is he now? Probably 30?
He cannot be a superhero.
They'll do like a...
I guess they could. I don't know. I don't see that.
He's hooking up with Marvel in the next Aquaman. Something like that.
He'd have to be like, so he's so small. I don't think he can do it.
Anyway, I'll see him in any movie. That guy's awesome.
I will too. What's something else that you liked?
You know, the best part of the movie, in my mind, is the setup. The whole idea of this, you know, unknown British, or is he British? He's British. British interviewer, basically a lightweight, you know, doing the entrepreneurial thing, basically hooking it up with Nixon, paying the $600,000, doing it all himself. And then when we get to the point where he's actually meeting up with Nixon, it's set up to be this kind of a battle. And it's really cool that Nixon is even in on it too. Like, you know, you're a fair opponent and we will spar in battle. I think that setup is great. And it's all, I love the movie all the way up to the point where
I want to say that it did make it seem when they're doing the interview and they go to their separate corners and talk to their managers and agents, it made it seem like a boxing match. Like, okay, we're going to get you back in there. You got to go for this angle, okay? You got to come at him like this. Don't let him try and crowd you.
Don't let him keep talking.
I never had thought of an interview or even a debate as like a boxing match, but it really is.
Yeah.
And they really set that up nicely. So what were you about to say that you didn't like?
You know, after we get the setup and after we get past the first day of interview, it just kind of like trickles down. It never really reaches a crescendo of like, I know the moment where we're supposed to believe that's the climax and what Nixon says in that point when he says that
if the president does it, it's not illegal.
That is supposed to be the point where Frost crossed the line of I defeated you. And it just kind of falls down to me. It's not you can't handle the truth. It's not the same level of drama.
You're saying he's not Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm saying I can see where you're coming from on that, but at the same time, you can't handle the truth is a completely fictional account. It's not taken from transcripts. There's no video of that. That's never happened. Whereas this is a highly visible tape of an interview that happened in real life, so it can't be over dramatized too much to the point where it bears no resemblance
That's
to what's actually
because
recorded.
I'll tell you why. They do what they want to do in this movie because one of the things that I didn't like about it was they jump into this late night drunken Nixon call, which I can't believe that they would throw this out there. Obviously, it's thrown in to amp up the drama to basically give the impetus for Frost to spend an all nighter learning all about Watergate, which is another terrible point of the movie.
This was a low point in the movie. I know what you're saying.
Don't tell me that they have to ride the historical line because they're not doing that.
Wait. I see what you're saying there too, but I have to disagree in that this is actually the recorded part, whereas the late night phone call and the all nighter are very movie-esque things. There's a monologue and then a, hey, let's play some Rocky music and we'll see Frost stand up. Oh, he's sleeping with his notebooks. He's working so hard. Yeah, there's a terrible montage. That's very movie land. But that's behind the scenes, so who knows? You can't argue that. Whereas something actually that's been filmed and seen, you can't mess with that much.
I think you're splitting hairs. But you know, the other one, before we get to the negatives, the one thing that I do want to call out is Langella's performance as Nixon. And here's why.
You and the rest of the Academy.
I think he deserves his Academy Award because he is not doing an impersonation of Nixon a la what we've seen in the last couple of years.
Good point.
Ray, who is that
Walk
guy?
The line.
Who does Ray?
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, he's an excellent impersonator of Ray Charles. It doesn't mean he's a good actor.
Yeah.
He's a comedian. This guy is an actor who takes the essence of the character of Nixon and does a really good job with it.
It is not
a imitation. Yeah. And that's what I liked about it.
I'm with you on that because I am getting tired of nominations for an imitation of somebody else.
Yeah.
Because that gets kind of annoying. So
even Joaquin really didn't. Did he really? He was kind of like.
He was straight up Johnny Cash.
You think so?
I think he was. Sean Penn with Harvey Milk, I think that he did a little bit of what you're saying. But he didn't do it as much as Frank Langella. He did take the essence, but he also did a pretty solid impersonation too. So he kind of walks the line on that one. Frank Langella does go his own way and say, obviously you know who Richard Nixon is. Obviously you've seen impersonations over the years. I'm going to do my own thing with this.
And I believe he's had a lot of experience with it because of the reason that he's in. You know, this is a play that these actors have played these parts many, many times.
Wait. Are you saying no? Michael Sheen and Frank Langella.
Is it not a play?
Yeah, I know it's a play.
These guys, Langella and Martin Sheen. What's his name?
Michael Sheen. That would be awesome if it was Martin Sheen.
Sorry, excuse me, Michael. I know you've played this role like 100 zillion times before. It's not like you're coming to the movie. Like,
I didn't know that.
Look it up.
I am going to look it up. It's going to be posted on the site if this is true or not. Because you can never trust Bill.
I'm pretty sure.
You can never trust him, so we'll have to see. Did Toby Jones play that supporting role?
I don't know about the supporting actors.
Yeah, I doubt that. I think he's a liar.
Did you have anything else that you might want to... Since you love this movie so much, is there anything else that really stands out for you as a negative?
As a negative? I think the things I didn't like were the stuff we just talked about. Right at that moment when we get that fake monologue-y late-night phone call, and then all the montage of studying, I did not like that. I also didn't know... I didn't really care for the thing about the Italian shoes being effeminate. I just did not see where that was representing it. That
it was just to give you a little taste of Nixon.
Yeah.
That he's a homophobe. And then there was another little, oh, he's married to a black lady or he's dating a black woman. So it's just to give you that little twinge of
homophobia and racism
of Nixon.
Okay, then I take that back. So there you go. It was pretty good.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
We've seen a lot of these types of movies in recent years where we're going to take a historical event or a historical figure and we're going to do a movie about it. And do you think that when, you know, fast forward 50 years from now and they look back on film history and they say, well, look, back in the late 20th century, early 21st century, they did a lot of these historical picks and they dramatized things from the past. Now, is that responsible? Because, like we talked about earlier, there's a part of this movie that is dramatic and absolutely not true. Is it responsible to make a movie where you just basically make up part of history? And people out there, audience members out there might go, oh, okay. Give me the little thumbnail, you know, give me the Cliff Notes version of history. I'll just swallow your shit. There's people out there saying, I will swallow your Cliff Notes version of history without, you know, going on the extra mile and learning about it. You think that's responsible?
Point taken. But they're saying this is based on history, not this is history. And if you're going to, this is someone taking creative license and saying, I'm taking this thing that is history, and I'm going to write it in my through my lens what I think is interesting and what I think will connect with an audience and what is most important to me, and also will sell and get people to watch it. And
to sell,
it didn't really sell, so we failed on that point. But I think that those are two separate things. Whether it's true, that's a documentary, and even documentaries have a spin. It's almost impossible to make a perfect historical account. But you can't hold someone who's doing something creatively under the fire or over the fire and say, this has to be perfect. You changed something. Because what happened with me with this, I had never heard of this interview. But after I watched the movie, I went and looked it up and I read about it. Yep. And I even read about things that were incorrect and said that where it would say, in the movie, they do this. But in reality, this is what happened.
I'll give it that.
And you have to trust that your audience is going to do that, is willing to accept that you're not telling the exact truth and go look it up and find out what's not true and what is true.
I'll give it that much. I mean, I went straight to YouTube after I watched the movie, and when I found out that they were trying to sell a DVD of the actual interview, I was just like more...
Nice.
I was more angered by it.
You know, David Frost was back there going, ooh, I can make some more money on this. So...
I just think that it's a little bit sickening feeling when you watch a movie and they put a talking head up on the screen, which is a dramatized thing that makes basically making it look like a documentary. They're sitting at a table as if they're being interviewed for a documentary, but this is a movie. And when you blur the lines like that, I think that there's something sickening in my belly to say you shouldn't do this.
But
if you want to tell the story, tell it in a parallel story that's sort of like it.
Are you saying change the names and everything?
Yeah, like do like a... you know, like they used to say in the old Star Trek episodes, they would...
Oh, God.
No, seriously, I'm just trying to make my point. They would take the...
Spock would say...
They would take the political...
Captain Kirk, what do you think about
this? Listen to my point. They would take the political thing of the day and they would spin it off into some fantasy world. And that's the way they could tell a story. Wouldn't it be more interesting if you could take this fallen hero, fallen leader... You know, we all know we're talking about Nixon. You just don't say. Why do they have to do it literally?
Because then people get more interested and people want to find out about it. It's only...
I think it's
how many people do you think are watching Star Trek today and going, oh, I remember this episode. This is where they took that issue of the day about making a national day of prayer episode about it.
I would admit
Spock wanted to have a national day of pointy ears and...
No, it's
parallels.
Like, okay, whatever. I just think it's lazy filmmaking, it's lazy story writing, it's lazy script. The guy who writes this goes, half of it's written for him, he's got the whole interview already. Like, all we, oh, I think they're like,
it's tough writing.
The guy's like, oh, we have a dramatic interview. Half of our movie's made. All we have to do is add in a couple more scenes where we have them call each other drunk, and we got a damn movie. And that is lazy, if you ask me.
I can see that taking place, and there's probably a character like Skeeter sitting there going,
Yeah, he's like, it's already done for us.
I can get $10 million from this. I can see what you're saying. So, then what would you give this movie? What rating would you give this movie?
You know, it was a good setup. It's a good movie. It's a well-made movie. I like Ron Howard, but this is just a weak effort. Does not deserve to be on this Oscar-nominated list. I'm giving it a C+.
The Oscar-nominated list includes Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Reader. Both of those movies are on this list.
The Reader.
So I'd have to say it deserves to be on this list somewhat. Although I like Doubt better than this movie. So
I did too.
I like this movie a lot. I thought that it did a great job building the setup. It did a great job with the execution. Langella was incredible. He deserves his nomination. I love the whole supporting cast. There were some things that I had issue with, like the montage that took a lot out of it. Saying all of a sudden now he cares, let him study. So that took a big chop down. I give it a B+ though. Still pretty high.
Ooh, pretty high.
I'd say go check it out. All right. I hope that helped you decide whether you want to go see this movie. And listen for more.
See you guys. Bye.